Welcome back to Security for Legal SaaS. I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan. Episode 49, Cloud IAM and Least Privilege. Alice, every legal SaaS platform runs on cloud infrastructure. IAM is the system that controls who can access what. But I suspect most teams don't give it the attention it deserves.
They don't. And the reason is that IAM is invisible when it's working. Nobody notices that the document parser can only read from the upload bucket and write to the output bucket. What they notice is when something is blocked, when a deployment fails because the service account doesn't have the right permission. And the path of least resistance in that moment is to grant a broad permission and move on. That's how you end up with service accounts that have owner-level access to your entire cloud project. Because someone needed it once, 6 months ago, and never scoped it down.
Ugh, and owner level means?
Everything. Full control over every resource. Databases, storage, compute, networking, and IAM itself. A compromised container running as that service account can read every document in storage, query every database, modify IAM policies to grant itself even more access, and delete audit logs to cover its tracks. The blast radius of a single breach is your entire infrastructure.
Right, so IAM, what does that actually stand for, and how does it work?
Identity and Access Management. It's the system that answers three questions. Who are you? That's authentication, which we've covered extensively. What are you allowed to do? That's authorization, the permissions attached to your identity. And under what conditions? That might include time, location, or which resource you're accessing. Every cloud provider, AWS, Google Cloud, Azure, has its own IAM system, but they all follow the same pattern. You have principles, users, and service accounts. You have policies that define what those principles can do, and you have resources that the policies apply to.
And service accounts are the machine identities. The identities that your services use to talk to cloud APIs.
Exactly. In a microservice architecture, which we discussed back in episode 18, your document parser, your AI engine, your billing service, your audit logger are all separate services. Each one needs to authenticate to cloud resources. Each one gets a service account. The critical question is, does each service get its own tightly scoped account? Or do they all share one overly broad one?
Yeah, let me guess. The common pattern is one shared account with too many permissions.
Most universally, one service account called App Service Account, with project-level editor or owner permissions, shared by every microservice. It's convenient. It never blocks deployments. And it means that if any single service is compromised, say, a vulnerability in your PDF parsing library, the attacker inherits the combined permissions of your entire platform. They can access client documents, query the database, call the AI model, and read billing records. All from one compromised service.
So the fix is one account per service, each with just what it needs.
One account per service. The document parser gets read access to the upload bucket and write access to the output bucket. That's it. The AI engine gets permission to call the model API and read from the parsed document bucket. The billing service gets write access to the billing database. Each service's blast radius is limited to its own scope. A compromised document parser can't touch billing data or IAM policies.
What about the credentials themselves? How do services authenticate?
This is where many teams make a dangerous mistake. The traditional approach is a service account key file, a JSON file containing long-lived credentials. You download it, put it on the server, and the service uses it to authenticate. The problem, that key file never expires. If it's leaked in a log file, in a configuration dump, in a developer's code repository, it provides access until someone manually revokes it. The modern approach is workload identity. Your cloud provider issues temporary credentials to your service automatically, based on where it's running. No key files to store, leak, or rotate. In GCP, that's Workload Identity Federation. In AWS, it's IAM roles for service accounts. In Azure, it's managed identities.
Right. Temporary credentials that expire. That's a much smaller window for an attacker.
Typically 1 hour. If stolen, the credential is useless after it expires. Compare that to a key file that's valid indefinitely. For legal SaaS platforms, the rule is simple. If a credential doesn't have an expiration time, it's a risk. Eliminate long-lived credentials wherever possible.
Now, you mentioned permission creep. How does that happen in practice?
Gradually. A developer needs access to debug a production issue. They're granted a broad role, editor or administrator. The issue is resolved, but the permissions stay. 6 months later, that developer's account has accumulated permissions across multiple projects, including resources they no longer work with. Multiply that by every developer, every service account, every one-off script. The research is clear. 23% of cloud security incidents come from misconfigurations, with overly permissive access as a leading cause.
Right. So how do you detect and fix it?
Every cloud provider has tools for this. AWS has IAM Access Analyzer, which shows unused permissions and access privileges. Google Cloud has IAM Recommender, which compares granted permissions against actual usage and recommends reductions. Azure has Permissions Management, which flags over-provisioned identities. The practical workflow is, let your services run for 30 to 90 days, then use these analyzers to identify permissions that were never used. Remove them. You'll never get permissions perfect on the first try, but you should never leave them unreviewed.
And for humans who occasionally need higher access, like during an incident.
Just-in-time access. Instead of giving someone permanent admin permissions in case they need it, you set up a workflow where they request elevated access when they actually need it. The request goes through an approval process. They get temporary admin access for 1 to 4 hours. Everything they do during that window is logged. The access revokes automatically when time expires. No standing privileges waiting to be exploited.
Yeah, that's the same idea as the temporary credentials. Make everything time-bound.
Exactly. And for legal SaaS specifically, JIT Access provides a clean audit trail. When a regulator or client asks who had admin access to the systems holding our documents and when, you can answer precisely. Not, these 12 people have permanent admin access, but admin access was granted 3 times in the last quarter for specific incidents, for specific durations, and here are the audit logs of every action taken.
One more thing. You mentioned that IAM misconfigurations can be actual attack paths, not just passive risks.
Yes. If a compromised service has permission to modify IAM policies, even if it was granted for some legitimate automation, the attacker can use that to grant themselves any permission. They escalate from a limited document parser identity to full administrator. Other paths include creating new keys for more privileged service accounts, or launching new compute resources with more privileged roles attached. The defensive rule is, audit IAM modifying permissions with extreme care. Very few services should have the ability to change permissions. Separate the create infrastructure role from the run application role, and make sure running applications cannot modify their own permissions.
Strong finish. Next episode, developer workstation security. Your production servers are hardened, but your developer's laptop has Slack, Chrome, and an SSH key to every environment.
Until then, I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan.
Security for Legal SaaS is a series written with AI assistance. Alice and Dan are AI-generated voices. No professional advice here, just education.